But good morning, Northlands fam. Happy New Year. I think today's a cutoff, right, to say Happy New Year. Quick question for you. How many of you felt guilty last Sunday that you weren't at church? I was praying the whole day last Sunday. Okay, I wasn't. I was eating bread and watching movies. But it was just a great day to rest, and it's not so often that we get snow here in Atlanta, and it was just a beautiful thing to see. I hope you all got some rest and had fun time with the family. My name is Armando. I'm part of the Northlands family. My wife and I lead Northlands Español Sundays at 1 p.m. There's my plug. All right, so if you know any Spanish-speaking people that are far from God, send them our way, and we will continue to preach this gospel of grace until the Lord calls us home. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Now, remember, I like to include people in my preaching. I love when people shout me down. I love when people say amen. I love when people say glory to God. So I want you to be free and open to interject this morning. If I say something a little weird, just come up to me after the service, and then we can discuss it offline. Today, I'm going to be preaching a message called Jesus, the Selfless Servant. Jesus, the Selfless Servant. Now, when we think about Jesus, right, Jesus not only has many titles, but Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is eternal. Now, when we think about servant, when we look at the life of Jesus as a servant, a lot of times we think of him as the suffering servant, right? When we see what Isaiah 53 describes about what he was going to go through. But when we think about Jesus, when we read the scriptures and we dive into the gospels, right, where we see the type of life that he lived, we see that Jesus poured out his life in service to others. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
It was an incredible life. If you ask people today, who was Jesus? And you know, you'll get so many different answers. I remember a few years back, I saw a video of this evangelist asking random people on the street, who was Jesus? And some people say, you know, he was a great guy. Oh, you know, I don't know if he existed. Some people say, well, you know, he was just an example for us to follow. And I remember that they spoke to this one young lady, and she said, Jesus was an amazing servant. And everything that he did was not only strategic or powerful or just profound, but he did it in service to others. And when I look at my life, it is such a privilege to be able to serve the local church. Now, today and next week, we have some Grace Team signups. So this is a very important 2 weeks for us in the life of our church, and it'll set us up for the next year to see who's going to serve where. And I'm so thankful, man. Let me tell you, I love the local church. I am in a love affair with the local church. I love to serve. And if there's something that I want you to know about me, I have been pastoring. My wife and I have been pastoring for the past 12 years. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. So we've been serving the local church for about the last 12 years. Let me tell you, I have served in almost every capacity in the church except for treasurer. Because I think math is mental abuse to humans. Don't come and ask me about, you know, being a treasurer or handling money, because that is just not my gifting. But let me share with you where I have served. I have taught Sunday school. How many of you have taught Sunday school? All right, a few of you. All right. I have been an evangelist for a season where I was going to different churches and preaching the gospel of grace. I have been an elder, and I am currently an elder here at Northlands Church. I have been part of the cleanup crew. I have been part of the setup crew. I have been part of the tear down crew. I've even been part of a human video. How many of you remember those? In the early 2000s, the church was full of human videos. You guys remember that? They would play a song and they would act it out. I think I was in an Easter play and I played guard number 3. Yeah. I got great feedback on that. I didn't have any lines, but I was just making faces in the background, you know? But I was part of a human video or a skit or whatever you want to call it. And we do all of this in service to the Lord and to the local church. And there are so many benefits of serving the local church. There is community. How many of you can say amen? How many of us have met just great brothers and sisters in Christ through serving together? Man, let me tell you something. I have been part of the greeting team here. How many of you saw Donna Glaze this morning? Right? Yeah, that's a power couple right there. And let me tell you something. There is something special when I get a hug from Dan Glaze. And he's out there greeting, right? And we have Vern and Karen Tanner who lead our greeting team. Shout out to them. Listen, I want to shout out as many volunteers that I can today. Right? We have I've been part of the children's check-in team, right? Where our lead pastor, Nicole, leads that team. And I have been part of so many wonderful teams in this church, and I have gotten to connect with so many wonderful people. And this is the body of Christ. This is the local church. And it's such an honor to build community. We have fellowship. We have discipleship. We grow in unity. And then most importantly, we become a family. Because this is what I've learned in being part of a local church and being able to serve in different areas. We are stronger and better as a church when each and every one of us brings our gift, brings our strength, our skill and ability, number one, to glorify God and edify the body and build others. When we serve, This is not a selfish thing. When we serve, we're putting others before ourselves. Now, let me tell you something, a little bit about my background, a little bit about my testimony. Some of you know I grew up in New York City. I got involved in gangs, and I got involved in so many different sinful activities. And let me tell you something, I was perhaps the most selfish person on this planet. I always say that. And then I have this radical conversion. Jesus meets me on the road, and he impacts my life in such a way that I said, Lord, I will pour out my life for you for the rest of my days. So supernaturally, I go from being the most selfish person in the world through this process of healing and restoration where the Lord said, I'm going to use you to serve others for the rest of your days. And it was something supernatural. I was born again, and I go from being this man that is only interested in satisfying me, and now I have this amazing shift in my life where my heart has changed, my mind has been renewed, and I say, now, Lord, I want to live this life for the benefit of others. I want to live this life serving others to the best of my ability. And there is something incredibly fulfilling when we serve. It is a spiritual act. It is not about satisfying ourselves, but rather doing God's will, walking in obedience and in love. And all of that is expressed through service. How many of you can say amen? Where's Robbie Shackelford? Oh, there he is. Okay. Let me tell you, there is a grace space for each and every one of us. There is a grace space for each and every one of us. You have been uniquely gifted. You have been uniquely called for a specific service. I always say, why does God expect greatness out of us? It's because he's deposited greatness in us. How many of you can say amen? Yeah, that's good preaching. Amen. I usually get more claps, but it's okay. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ty. I appreciate that. I'm a little insecure, you know, so I need you to build me up. So Jesus talks about that the greatest in the kingdom are those who serve. The greatest in the kingdom are those who serve. See, the thing about it is that Jesus has an upside down kingdom. It's not like this kingdom in this world. Here, the powerful, the famous, the celebrities, the athletes, they get served because there's a specific gift on their life. But when we look at the kingdom of God, there's a different culture, there's a different mindset, there's different priorities. And here in this house at Northens Church, the greatest in the kingdom are those who serve and say, Lord, I am here to do whatever you want me to do so that I can impact others. And that is the heart of service. And where we have this great model, right? We have this great example in the life of Jesus where he poured out his life in serving others. So there's a grace space for each and every one of us. And the question for us today is, what is your grace gift? Some of us know, some of us don't know, but it's okay. You are on the road to finding out what that grace space is. And the best way to find out is sign up for a few teams today. That's right. Sign up for a few teams, and then you're going to find your passion, and you're going to be able to serve with the specific gift that God has placed on your life. There is a grace space for you to serve. Now, I love that Peter reminds us that God has deposited something great in us, and God expects greatness because he deposited greatness. Look what 1 Peter 4:10 says. And I have two versions up there. The first one says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Say it with me, others. All right. You have received a gift to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Now, service also requires stewardship. How many of you can say amen? All right? If we have been given a gift, we are to be developing that gift in service of others. Now, if you look at the bottom version, it's the New Living Translation, the version, and it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So when God created you, he created you uniquely. There is no other person on this earth besides you. No one has your fingerprint. Do you know that? There's almost 8 billion people in the world, and your fingerprint is unique. So that means that you were not only fearfully and wonderfully made, but you were made specifically to fill a gray space. How many of you can say amen? You were created to fill a gray space. And today, the Lord is calling us to fill a gray space. And I love how the New Living Translation says it. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Man, there's some of us that are gifted to communicate. There's some of us that have a mercy gift. There's some of us that are naturally charismatic. Now, let me tell you something. When I got saved, I wanted to be a drummer. Man, there's something about the drummer that just draws me in. And I remember I started going to a local church where there was this guy named Manny, Puerto Rican guy, heavy dude. And he was teaching the drums. And I remember I was his student. And he had 4 students for the drums. There was a couple of kids that were 13, one was 16, and then I was a little bit older. I think I was about 22 years old. And I remember after about 4 weeks of taking these lessons, Manny asked me to come to the church early. He's like, hey, Brother Armando, can you come a little bit early? I wanna talk to you about some things. And I'm like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, man, he's gonna tell me that I'm ready to play. And then I get to the church, and how many of you know that when somebody puts their hand on your shoulder, they're about to let you down? So Manny says, Brother Armando, I love you. And I'm like, I love you too, Manny. I'm so thankful that you're taking the time to teach me. And Manny says, Brother, I love you in the Lord. Oh, man. He's about to let me down. He says, I love you in the Lord, but I don't think your gift is drumming. He goes, you see those 2 little kids, the other 13-year-olds that come? I'm like, yeah. He goes, they're ahead of you. And I was like, oh, man. But let me tell you something. Manny was so wise, and there was an insight that the Lord gave him. He said, I don't think this is your ministry. I believe that you are called to communicate. And my drumming career ended that day. No, but there was something in Manny that saw something in me before I even saw it. And he says, I truly believe that there is a grace about you, and I truly believe that the Lord is calling you to preach. And I say that you go to Bible Institute and start preparing for that call that God has on your life. And that has been my grace space, and I'm still working at it. I still make mistakes. I'm not the world's greatest communicator, but what I do know is that I'm passionate about talking about Jesus. Every time I get the opportunity to talk about Jesus, I'm gonna talk about some Jesus. So the gift that I have received, amen, yeah, come on, I'm excited. The gift that I have received, the skill set that I have, the ability that I possess should be used to serve others. It is for the benefit of others that I have been gifted the gift of communication. It's not for my brand. How many of you say amen? Amen. Let's pray for all the TikTokers. Too soon? Too soon? Sorry. Too soon. Serving others should not be for my brand, for my platform, for my reputation. It is strictly for others. We must be selfless as Jesus was selfless. Now, there's an interesting conversation that happens in Mark chapter 10. Jesus teaches his disciples about serving others. Now, there were two disciples. They were called the Sons of Thunder, James and John. And these two guys were awesome. Now, let me tell you something. There was a moment where they come up to Jesus. You know, they leave all the disciples behind. And they come and they're like, John, James, come on. Let's go talk to Jesus. Because we need to make some arrangements. So James and John come and talk to Jesus. And they said, hey, which one of us is going to sit at your right? Or which one of us is going to sit at your left? In your glory, in your throne. So what happens here is that Jesus is teaching them about service. He's teaching them about humility. And when James and John have this conversation with him, Jesus basically says, you have no idea what you're asking. You have no idea what you're asking because it's not about a place of honor, rather a selfless posture of humility. It's not about a place of honor. It's not about our names being in lights. It is about Jesus' name being in lights. It's about proclaiming his name, his gospel, and what he can do to transform your life. And many times, Jesus will transform people through our service. How many of you can say amen? There's something special about you and I pouring out our lives to serve this king who poured out his life for us. So it's not about a place of honor, rather is a selfless posture of humility. Let's go to Mark 10 really quickly, chapter 10, verse 43 to 45. And Jesus says, but among you, it will be different. This upside down kingdom, right? Whoever wants to be a leader amongst you, you must be a servant. How many of you know that you can serve without being a leader, but you can't lead without serving? I love what John Maxwell says about leadership. John Maxwell says, leaders lead out of passion, not out of position. Right? It's not about a title. It's about a posture of humility because we don't have to serve. We get to serve. We don't have to serve. We get to serve. Verse 44 says, and whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. The end of the service of Jesus landed him on the cross. Think about it. The Creator giving his life for his creation. The Creator of the universe, as Colossians 1:16 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And this amazing, eternal, great king came to this earth, took on human form, and he served humanity, and he gave his life for you and for me. Poured out his blood on a cruel cross, as an example to us to pour our lives. Now, when we look at the dictionary, the word service means the action of helping, assisting someone, or doing the work for someone, or providing aid to someone. And we see this time and time again in the life of Jesus because he was the selfless servant. He is our model, he is our Lord, he is our master, and Jesus served at a heart full of agape love. Now, let me share a quick story. There was a woman named Agnes Boyajou. I don't know if you've ever heard of that name. Agnes Boyajou, at the age of 18, she completely surrendered her life to Christ to serve others for the rest of her days. At the age of 18, she started serving. And Agnes Boyajou is more popularly known as Mother Teresa. And look what Mother Teresa said. She says, give your hands to serve and give your heart to love. Give your hands to serve and give your heart to love. Because let me tell you something, genuine service flows out of heart of love. Genuine service flows from a heart that is full of love. Here's what I've learned, family. Jesus did not come to earth to reign as king. He came to live as a servant. Now, if anybody should have come to reign as king, it was the king. But yet, he submitted his life. He humiliated himself, the word says. Paul says it. He humbled himself as a servant and went to the cross and gave his life. Jesus did not come to earth to reign as king. He came to live as a servant. Now, when we study the life of Jesus, we see that he operated in a system, and Jesus operated in a system of principles, priorities, and patterns. Jesus lived a life of prayer. He lived a life of obedience. He lived a life of love, and he lived a life of service. So what do we get? What do we see in Jesus' heart in the way that he lived his life? Jesus acted out of love with humility through service. Jesus acted out of love with humility through service. Now, there is this important connection between humility and service. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus, one of the clear markers of his life is that Jesus was humble. In Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus gives us an invitation and he says, if you are tired, if you're burdened, if you are weary, come to me and I will give you rest. And there he gives us an insight into his heart and he says, for I am meek and I am humble of heart. So a clear marker, a clear characteristic that is crucial for us to serve is humility, because it is not about us, it's about how we can impact others. One of the greatest privileges as a follower of Jesus is to serve in the local church. Church is in the heart of the Christian life, and it is modeled perfectly by Jesus, the selfless servant. Now, in John 13, 15, Jesus sets an example for us to follow. After washing his disciples' feet, an act of love, humility, and service, he encourages us to follow his lead and serve one another. And Jesus says, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Do as I have done to you. Now, let's think about this from a human standpoint. Remember, when Jesus walked the earth with his disciples, they didn't have Nikes, you know, they didn't have Adidas, they didn't have any of that, right? They had sandals made out of leather skin, and they walked everywhere. And remember, their feet would be crusty and dusty and all of those things. But Jesus, the King, the creator of all things, humbles himself and washes the feet of his creation. Wow. What an example that he has set for us. and he washes their feet. I remember a few years ago, Pastor Greg preached an amazing message called the servant's towel. You and I are to pick up that servant's towel and wash the feet of those around us. It's about humility. It's about a posture of humility. And this is representative in Jesus' entire ministry. Jesus never placed himself in a position above others. He led by serving, and he loved by serving. He washed feet. He fed thousands. He walked to heal the sick. He spent time with those no one else cared for, and he spent time with them in intimacy and really connected with him. Jesus lived a life of great humility, and he showed us that serving others and humility go hand in hand. And I love what Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 5. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. I remember when we first planted the church back in 2012, I think it was year 3, and I remember there was this young guy at our church. And one Sunday, he came up to me after serving. He said, hey, Pastor, I'm ready to serve. And I'm like, amen. Isn't it awesome when we see young people serving? Isn't that great? I know there's a Serve Sunday where the middle schoolers serve and they interact, and it's just great. And I remember this young guy comes up to me. He says, Pastor, I'm ready to serve. I am ready to do whatever I need to do because I love Jesus. And I said, great. I said, hey, you can help us stack chairs. I said, hey, we have a vacuum. You can, you know, use the vacuum. You can vacuum before service, after service. I said, we always accumulate, you know, garbage. Can we get rid of that? You know, hey, empty out the coffee pot. And as I'm continuing to describe some of these services that he can provide, he's taking steps back. And I'm following him. Seriously, hey, you can help. You know, you can do this. You know, you can do that. And then he's like, I wanted to preach. I'm like, oh. I said, yeah, someday you may preach. I said, but if God can't trust you to stack chairs, why would he give you a microphone? Yeah. If we're not faithful down there, forget about coming up here. And not that this, you know, says that you've arrived or anything. No. Let me tell you something. This is a sacred opportunity. This is a holy place where God gives us the opportunity to share his word. And let me tell you something. I don't take that lightly. And if you guys have seen it at Espanol, I'm still stacking chairs. I'm still vacuuming. But you know why? Because I love the local church and I get to do this. I don't have to do it. But I get to do this. I think that's why I felt guilty of not coming to church last Sunday. Serving others is more than keeping up with a to-do list. To be a servant means that we genuinely need to care about people. And when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was not in a hurry. Jesus was not stressed. He was always in the moment serving others as he poured out his life. Look what Galatians 5:13 says. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Don't use your freedom for your sinful nature. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Service is love in action. How many can say amen? Service and obedience go hand in hand. And let me tell you something. Service and obedience are God's love language. Jesus said, if you love me, when he's talking to his disciples, you guys know the verse. If you love me, do as I tell you. Do as I have commanded, right? Obedience is one of the purest forms of love. Do we want to show the Lord how much we love him? Let's walk in obedience. Acts of service are pleasing to the heart of God. Look what Hebrews 13:16 says. And it says, don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. So God is pleased when we serve. God is pleased when we use our talents and our gifts to bless the body. Now, how can we embody a life of service in our daily lives? I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But if your bodies have many parts and God has put each part just where he wants it, how strange a body would it be if it had only one part? Some of us are ears, some of us are eyes, some of us are hands, some of us are feet, and together we make the body of Christ, and together we can serve in the local church to impact people that are far from God. Listen, you don't know what an act of kindness or an act of service may trigger in the heart of an unbeliever. Because, we're trained sometimes to share our theology rather than live it. Some people are like, well, show me that you love me. And once you show me that you love me, then I'm open to your theology. I think love comes before theology. Now, don't misunderstand me. Theology is important. But we have been taught this evangelistic model is that we have to preach and that's it. No, we have to build relationships. We have to share space. We have to be intimate. And from there, when they see that we care, then we can share our theology. Yeah. Now, how can we embody a life of service in our daily lives? The word serve, listen to this. The word serve, servant, or servitude, or one of those forms, it appears over 1,100 times in the Bible. It is the word abed, E-B-E-D. Say it with me, abed. That means to be a servant or in the act of service, and it shows up in the scriptures over 1,100 times, depending on which version you read. Now, when the word repeats something, it's because it's important. How many can say amen? Now, here are some of the results. Here are some of the benefits. This is some of the fruit when we walk in service. Number one, service reflects the character of Christ. Service reflects the character of Christ. Philippians 2, 5 to 7. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, listen to this, being in the very nature of God, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The very nature of God strips himself of all of that, and he takes on the form of a servant. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility and service. His earthly ministry was marked by acts of compassion, healing, teaching, and sacrifice. Next one, service is an expression of love. I love what Galatians 5:13, Paul says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. Are we getting the picture? There's a correlation between serving, between love, obedience, and most important, humility. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more attractive in the believer but humility. The word says that he resists the proud, but he draws near to the humble. Amen? So service is an expression of love. Next, service builds the body of Christ. As we read earlier, 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, every believer has a role in the church and the broader community. You're not here by chance. You're here by divine appointment. Maybe today's your first time here. You're here by divine appointment. Service strengthens unity and encourages spiritual growth. We have to discover and use our spiritual gifts for the edification of others. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork." This is one of my favorite verses. "For we are God's handiwork." Say to the person next to you, "You're God's handiwork." That's right. This is a truth that is made about you and me. He says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works." That means to serve, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God didn't create you just to create you. He created you on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. And that's to impact in the sphere of influence where you are now. There's a sphere of influence around you, your workplace, the marketplace, your family, your neighborhood, right? You are to make an impact in those spaces. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." I want you to know this today, church. Service is both an act of worship and a spiritual discipline. Service is both an act of worship and spiritual discipline. Last Sunday, my brother-in-law, Omar Flores, went home to be with the Lord. My wife has actually been in New York for the last month. And she was, she took her mom, and then my girls went up there and spent Christmas up there. I was there last week. And let me tell you something, it was one of the most selfless acts that I have ever seen. She was a month out in New York and sleeping on different couches and serving in different ways, going to the hospital, being with her brother every day. And I saw the life of Jesus in my wife in such a profound way, because she left her comfort zone. She went back to New York. She spent time with his widow. She spent time with family members, praying with people, having devotionals at the hospital with him before he passed away. And it was just an incredible sight to see service in love and service in action. A few minutes ago, he went home to be with the Lord. And he left a legacy of service, because there were people testifying on Friday night at his funeral how he served. In his cancer diagnosis, he was still serving. One of the ministries that he served in was a ministry that ministered to, the journey workers that sometimes hang out at gas stations looking for work. They would go and set up tables with hot cocoa and sandwiches, and Omar was always there. And a few weeks ago, the men of the church went back out, and all the workers like, "Where's Omar? Where's Omar?" To the very end, loved Jesus, speaking about Jesus. He was encouraging us. He was praying for us, even though he could barely speak. And I saw service exemplified not only in my wife, but also in the life of Omar. So what is my ask today, church, as I finish in Hebrews 13:20-21? We have been uniquely gifted. There's greatness that has been deposited in us in order for us to impact and serve others through love and with humility. I love what the writer Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:20-21. It says, "Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will." It is God's will for us to serve. It is God's will for us to serve. And he says, "And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today, when you walk out into the lobbies, you're going to see tables of the different ministries that are represented. Would you kindly and prayerfully consider serving on one of these teams? That is one of our core values here at Northlands. Join a community group, a journey group, but also serve, because you have been uniquely made, fearfully and wonderfully made, to make an impact through your service. Amen? Can I pray for us? Would you stand with me? I'm thankful that Manny told me to stop drumming. Thank you, Phyllis. You won't see me back there. But it's the honor of my life to be able to speak about this gospel. Every Sunday that I speak, I still get nervous. I still shake a little bit, because this message is the message of my life. It is the message that rescued just a broken down human being with no purpose and no future. That was in 1996. And I remember I was at a service and somebody gave me prophetic words and he said, the Lord is calling you to be a pastor. I started rebuking the devil. I said, no. And I remember it took 17 years for me to get to that place of being a pastor. But the Lord prepared my heart, prepared me, matured me, molded me through service. My first pulpit was a vacuum. And I still use that pulpit today. So would you consider today signing up and serve? Bring your strength, bring your grace to this amazing community, to this amazing church. I love Northlands Church. How many of us love this church? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll invite Russell to come up. Father, I just want to thank you for allowing me to share your word. Father, thank you for each and every individual that's here. Father, I thank you for their unique talents and gifts. Father, thank you for depositing greatness in us. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you touch our hearts today so that we can continue this service that you started 2,000 years ago. Father, for your word says that greater things we would do in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church of the Lord said, amen. Amen. Russell.
Thank you, Armando.